Hello, this is Teresa Hudson. I'd like to welcome you again to Crosswalk Talk Radio. It's a production of Crosswalk Life Incorporated, and you may find us at www.cwlinc.com. Our wonderful host is Carlotta Waldman, an ordained minister of counseling. She's a prophet, an author, a seminar leader, and the founder of Crosswalk Life, a restoration prayer ministry. Tonight we have a wonderful program in store, and just like Carlotta and I were just talking about, we like to reach unreached people groups, don't we, Carlotta?
Yes, ma'am. We are all about reaching out to those that maybe are unreached or you feel unsupported or you haven't gotten the ministry that you want or people that are confused. Maybe you've heard different versions, different doctrines, different belief systems, and you don't know what to choose, and so we want to help. Teresa and I are both survivors in a way. I was mostly a survivor of lots of dumb choices. Teresa was a survivor of things she didn't choose. But we have a heart for you, and tonight we're offering a very, very special program. It's one of the most exciting ones, but we're not having it because it's exciting. We're having it because we want to do our part as believers in Jesus Christ to reach out to people who have very few options, as it seems, for ministry.
That's right.
We've got a caller right now, Teresa, if you want to see who that is.
Okay.
I don't recognize the number, but that doesn't mean anything. We're expecting Russ Dizdar, who's a pastor for about 30 years, I think, to call in tonight, and he is the most courageous evangelist I know, to Satanist, former Satanist. He knows more about how to minister to people that are victims of occults. And, of course, that is one of my specialties, people that were involved in satanic ritual abuse or have resulting multiple personalities or dissociation or whatever. But tonight, Russ is going to go a little bit deeper and talk about the agenda of the Antichrist to work through cults. About the 500 million satanic rituals that are done in the United States, I believe it's every year, how they're in basically every big city now, and I think I've heard that Satanism is like the third biggest religion in the world, if not bigger. You can see his website at www.shatterthedarkness.net, and he's got a newsletter, and you can see the conference that's coming up he's holding in Canton, Ohio. And that will be October 1st and 2nd. We will be there. We'd love to see you there. You can sneak a peek of his new video in the video trailer, and I put that link on the blurb here on the website at Blog Talk Radio. And you can learn how to prepare yourself for the warfare that's coming, how we're protected in Jesus Christ, Lord Sabaoth, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And if you know anybody that's interested in ministry to people that have been survivors of abuse, have been abducted by aliens, indoctrinated by the new alien religion, well, not so new, please have them call tonight or let them know that they can listen or download or subscribe. Or survivors of abuse and cults. We particularly want these people that have maybe really looked for a place to receive ministry where they'll be believed, where they'll be respected, receive real healing and freedom. We want them to call and get a chance to get to know us. And I want to say that Russ is the hands-on kind of guy. He's not just going to give us an intellectual view of what's going on or a theological interpretation. He really does minister to survivors of all kinds, as we do. And I might add that there have been two or three occasions when I've had ministry opportunities to people that were on a very high level of like Luciferians or second generation Nazi mind control or things like that, where Russ has been available to me and he's agreed to meet with me with them. And it's just amazing to me how many irons he has in the fire and what a resource he is to the body of Christ. It's just absolutely
Amen.
Amazing. Going places where other men don't go. And as you know, many times when you've had severe experiences like this, you might go to the church for help and receive wonderful help, but too many people have gone to the church for help, and they've referred them to a psychiatrist or something, or not really believe them at all. So we welcome you, and whoever you know that has a real need, you know, for ministry, to know that the blood hasn't lost its power. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I'd like to give Russ a chance to introduce himself. He's going to be covering many more subjects, talk about his book, talk about the end times agendas, and super soldiers and all kinds of things, but he can say it better than I can. I will say this, Russ. My head is so full of watching the DVDs from the First Christian Symposium on Aliens, where you recently spoke, that I'm just going to follow you around tonight because my head is so full of the things and the urgent need to minister to these survivors. It's just phenomenal how the we have been behind the curve, really. So Russ Dizdar, Pastor Russ Dizdar, evangelist, I mean, almost every title I can think of, welcome to the program.
Well, we deeply appreciate being here tonight, Carlotta, and just you're doing the cutting-edge stuff. You're doing the ministry that we have to do, and you're correct, I believe, concerning being, you know, the body as a whole, and I love the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I was a pastor for 30 years, pastored four churches, and now we've been out doing this for the last couple of years, and we are packed. I'm behind. I feel like I'm just constantly trying to catch up to all those who are asking for help, and it's just it's massive, as you know, and victims are looking for help, and they're not finding it in many places. So I only know one thing: Jesus. You know, he saves, he heals, he delivers. There is no one that compares to him. And
Amen.
With 4.5 million diagnosed cases of satanic ritual abuse, with literally now thousands upon thousands that claim they have engaged alien entities or been abducted and are out of, you know, they're simply out of control, living in fear. And even millions that have had sleep paralysis issues and presence walk in their room. It's all because of one thing. As biblical prophecy said, the ramping up of the dark side, hundreds of millions of spirits have been just breaking through and engaging humanity and coming through every kind of doorway. So we now have millions of people that, on the one hand, are engaging counterfeit, you know, spirituality. On the other hand, they are terrified about what's happening. And then on the lower end of all of this, is this entire agenda and the satanic ritual abuse. As you mentioned about being on the field, I just had an individual here, 35-year-old lady, Saturday, and her husband, and once again from childhood, and we've worked with this person, but her life has been devastated, numerous sub-personalities, some of which want to go to the coven this weekend. They want to go shed blood. They want to, now the other part of her, the other side of her doesn't want, you know, to do this. And there's just a spiritual battle going on. And after 4 hours, she leaves. A college student comes in that my daughter brings to me. And here she's got a spirit attachment to her because of some counterfeit stuff. I believe in the real gifts of the Spirit, but I also know clearly there are counterfeit gifts, mm-hmm. and she needed to be free. And again, Jesus brought her freedom. So that's what we're involved in. We love evangelism. That's the cutting edge of it all. But so many people, you know, they have spirits now, and they have massive entanglements.
That's what making disciples includes at all, that we need to get back to our original Great Commission to not only evangelize and teach all nations, but to really make disciples, set people free, get them healed. And I'm even dreaming about it. I won't go on and on about this, Russ, but a couple nights ago I had a dream, and Teresa and I have very significant dreams. They're never just fluff or pizza dreams, you know. And I dreamed that something was trying to get in my door just as I closed it and locked it, and it was shoving back. And I'm not a fearful person at all. I couldn't do what I do if I were. But then the second half of the dream, I dreamed that I saw me sitting in front of my own front door, pregnant, but in a wheelchair. And then there was something that kind of jumped out of me or something, and it came in the house and tried to shove something down my throat. And I think so many people need ministry that I was just seeing me pregnant, ready to birth another, you know, bigger arm of this ministry, my ministry, to reach out to these survivors and even the abductees and the contactees from these demonic demons that, you know, are masquerading as extraterrestrials and all of that, and just to reach out to them to help them. And I'm just going to be wide open to anything that you can share that will help me know how to build this next branch of the ministry.
Sure. And again, the dreams like this, and like my wife the other day, you know, she comes to me about a particular thing that occurred, woke her up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. We have, and if you're working with survivors and you're dealing in, you know, deliverance issues, well, you know, the other side is ramping up. They know who's doing what, and they're constantly trying to divert us and stop us. The Apostle Paul talks about in Thessalonians, the first book of Thessalonians, he was on his way in ministry, but he says it right there in the scripture, but Satan stopped us. Now, it was temporary, but so there's the sense of us helping individuals, but you're right when it comes to all of the things God puts in us to get, you know, and look what it is, just what you've just said. God's putting in you to do more, to advance things more. And here's this. I thought about you earlier today because I was looking at some of the stuff in the notes you sent me, and I thought, you know, thank God that there are believers that want to charge right in there and just reach any kind of individual. And I, again, say that I love the body of Christ and have massive interaction with it. But I'm extremely concerned about its lack. You mentioned discipleship. The church should have been discipled from, you know, each believer from day one in the Word, fullness of the Spirit, power of, you know, of God, the authority that we should have, armor of God. And if we look at Luke 10, you know, unleashing the gospel, praying for healing, and deliverance, all three things Jesus did, then he instructed them to go do it. Then they came back, and all of it was done. But as you know, most believers, when I ask the question at a conference, how many here know your authority in Christ? They don't even know what I'm talking about. Right. How many here know that you have the armor of God on? And the majority don't know. And it's like, I and thank the Lord that you're not living, you know, that there's no need for fear. And a lot of believers do have that, but it's like what we had here the other night, major spiritual encounter, sub-personalities in a demonized, ritually abused, a little girl that was brought into that whole structure. Her life has been stolen. She's 35 and married, and yet having massive conflict because of sub-personalities with programming, and the coven is right out there. They've attacked our home. They've come to our home in the past. They've called and left chants over the telephone. And so we've engaged them. We've gone to their house. We've sat outside their house and prayer mapped them and targeted. And we're ready to offer, you know, God to save and heal and deliver them. But we're also saying, whatever it takes sometimes, if they're going to cut up a little girl, if they're going to do something like that, I pray in our understanding now, we just pray, whatever it's going to take to stop this.
Amen.
So that's part of what we have to do. And I think part of the other side is, you mentioned the alien abduction issue, and we were down at Roswell twice, and I love Guy Malone and Joe Jordan and the work that's being done. But I went there for one thing, to engage individuals, whatever they had, personalities, demons, alien contact, whatever. We just were there to engage and the reason the body of Christ should do that, we should be at the cutting edge of ministering to people.
Right.
Instead of seeing, you know, 70 million Americans believe that there are aliens out there, and 42 million say they've seen some kind of lights in the sky, and thousands say they've been, you know, and we've seen them. I've seen Joe Jordan put on stage 10 people whose lives for years, many of their lives, for years they had abduction, and it all came down to one thing, that it was demonic entities. It was they were engaged with these high priority, the demonic side. There's a reason why they're bringing this kind of in-the-sky, top-down approach to deception. but all of them delivered, all of them set free, all of them breaking the abduction scenarios. Jesus Christ did this for them, and they gave powerful testimony. So that's what it's really all about. But here's the factors. With, you know, our calculations now, 4.5 million diagnosed cases of satanic ritual abuse. Colin Rost, he's not a believer in Christ, but he's a psychiatrist. He has written a book, and he agrees with a quote he put, that there may be 10 million of these victims in the United States and Canada, and Europe would have twice as many, if not more. And so we have to say, who started this? Who did this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why so many victims? What's the ultimate reason? You know, I thought in the beginning, you know, 25 years ago, well, they want sex, or they're in the blood stuff, and they do orgies. But Carlotta, this and Teresa, there's a massive agenda, which includes infiltrating the church,
right,
satanic ritual warfare against the body, and preparing for chaos in the Antichrist. They believe they're going to be a part of that.
Well, I think one of the main things that was so clear in the first Christian Symposium on Aliens is that they claim to be aliens, they claim to be extraterrestrial, but they have a completely spiritual agenda, it seems like. The indoctrination that they download into people mind to mind, that it's about Antichrist, anti-Bible, that they are the creators, our creators, that they are the ones that are going to save us from Armageddon or whatever. And if they were, you know, just real authentic ETs, you'd think they'd have more of a scientific agenda. But they have a clearly anti-Christ agenda. So American, all countries of the world, wake up that this is the Antichrist agenda. Of course, it's deception and lies. It's never what it says it's going to be. It offers something it can't produce. And that our real answer is in Jesus Christ. But like you said, we have the spiritual power and authority to stop someone from abducting us. We don't need to be afraid, and we need to learn to operate in the fact that greater is he that's in us.
Absolutely. You're absolutely. And again, for us that know this, we know this, and that's why you're out in the field and we're out in the field. But the millions, and here's why the body of Christ has to be engaged. We have to be engaged because millions of people are being just literally sucked away into this deception that's really precursors for the coming Antichrist. The interesting thing about the whole alien issue, and even when I talk to people that are pro-alien, I met people down in Roswell that believe the aliens have met with them and they're sending them out. Courtney Brown, the professor who's a remote viewer, believes that he's met with aliens, that he met out in the galactic, you know, confederation or whatever, that he met with Jesus, you know, in a room. Here's this little entity, Jesus, totally opposite of the biblical Jesus, our Jesus.
Right.
And he believes it. He believes it all. He's promoting it. He's writing books for it. Just as we get inspired to do mission and to do our work, here's the reality. They're inspired spiritually. They're enhanced spiritually, and they have an agenda. And here's what I tell everybody: as much as we've seen, and as much as it is out there, if we look at the biblical scale of what prophetic revelation says, we haven't seen anything yet. We're going to see the supernatural off the scale like nothing in human history, and we have to know our stuff in order to deal with it until we're out of here.
Well, and we've had presupposed definitions of verses that we all know, you know, that there's going to be doctrines of demons, but I think we had kind of seen that in a small way, that it's just a general lies that the devil would tell, distorting who Christ is or why he came or why we need him. No, it means doctrines of hordes of demons who will try to evangelize us all to the Antichrist agenda. Those are doctrines of demons.
Exactly. I think maybe 30, 40 years ago, and you know, ministers were trained that it's humanism or that it's liberal theology, which is, you know, which is a problem. But doctrines of demons, you know, these spirits, and they're called planos there, they literally mean seducers or imposters. So you have Alice Bailey, back in the 30s, beginning to write books She has a entity standing next to her where she'll sit for 10 hours, and she calls it fusing, or they called it overshadowing, where this entity so fused into her and led her, they called it the Tibetan or an ascended master. She wrote 21 volumes of books that are the foundation. They are the foundational doctrinal books where the entity guiding her dictated sentence by sentence what to write. So in picking one up, we are actually reading Dedake, Doctrines of Demons.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a presence on them too. And they're influencing, look how the New Age movement alone, worldwide, hundreds of millions. United States, 70 million or more that have connection to, influenced by, and are part of some of the spirituality of the New Age movement. So we're off the charts when it comes to those being deceived, but the agenda for broader deception is not fading. It's getting stronger and broader and moving us closer to the most horrific time in human history.
Well, what that says to me is that there's 70 million plus people, or however many, that are going elsewhere for spiritual power, for the resources they feel like they need. And a significant part of those people know from firsthand experience, because they have been abducted or contacted or possessed, or they've had a sexual relationship with incubus and succubus spirits or whatever. They know that all of these different aspects of demon outreach is real. And when they come to the church and the church says, now we don't look for demons behind every bush and patronize them and all, then they just go back to another source, because the church has got to be relevant. We've got to start believing what we say we believe, and that is that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil and to heal and deliver. And that's our job description, not somebody else's. It's ours. So we need to either get on with it or get help for ourselves.
Well, exactly. And one of the, I think one of the reasons, too, 70 million, and that's just New Agers alone, it's because, again, I look at the book of Acts, and I know the last church I pastored, I know one thing. When people left, more than anything else, they knew that God's presence was there, that it was very supernatural,
mm-hmm.
that the Word of God came with the presence of the Spirit, worship, prayer, you know, all the stuff that occurs. You just walk, even visitors, I mean, they just knew this, you know, the intercession and the prayer and everything that went on, it was alive. And that's the difficulty, because I've been to many places to preach and many places to speak and so forth. We're in danger of, on the one hand, having buildings and churches with thousands of members where you can go in and go out never once experiencing anything of God. And that's, to me, an extreme evidence of either Sardis, the idea that the church was once alive but becomes dead in all of its activity. We should be able to walk into a spiritual, like a spiritual just ocean in gathering together. If we're the temple of God, if Jesus says, I'll be there when two or three gather, if the word, as powerful as it is unleashed by people led by the Spirit, if God gives words and speaks to hearts and brings deliverance and opens eyes, and just the overarching, manifest, immediate presence of God. The church, if any place was to be supernatural in all the world, God manifests in the church and among the believers. So it is true. You know, when you meet New Agers, almost every one of them say, well, I was a Lutheran, when I was raised Lutheran, I was raised Episcopal, or I was in the Catholic, and there was nothing to it. It was just boring, and there was nothing to it. So they have they've never been introduced to the living Christ. They don't have that experience.
Even people that have come here for internships, like my latest one, we were doing deliverance of with a person who had serious Eastern religion demons from generationals, all kinds of things. Anyway, when these demons began to cry out, you know, don't deliver us, don't send us away, don't, you know, where will we go? And you could see their little eyes in fear, and you could see you know, her just shaking, all this going on. My intern has got eyes as big as saucers because here she is wanting, you know, in ministry wanting to learn more, and she's never seen a real deliverance where they cry out for mercy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the name of Jesus, and we've just got to realize that it's not that it's a few. It's not that anybody like even you or I or Teresa or anybody is all that special. It's just that if we really learn to have confidence in Christ in us, then the demons know. They know already. And so it doesn't matter if they call themselves ETs or aliens or what they call themselves, they still have to bow to the name of Jesus.
Sure. And that's the evidential, you know, that's the side of evidence. Just like in the book of Acts, you know, the demon that came out and said, Jesus we know and Paul we know. You know, these seven sons of Sheba, they didn't even know Jesus, but they tried. But it all tells us something. And everything that we've seen biblically is true in our experience. Demons know. They don't care about Muhammad. They don't care about Buddha. They don't care about Katsikado. They fear Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And they hate him. And they hate the whole kingdom of God. They hate anybody that and they know. They know if Christ is alive in you, if you're born of the Spirit, if the Spirit of God is in you, they know the difference. These are real. And so I tell everybody all the time, all of that New Agers, Luciferians we deal with, whoever, the spiritual stuff you're going through and experiencing is real, but it's lethally wrong. And it will bite you in the end eternally.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we deal with this, it's not that they're not having – that's one thing that keeps them out there doing it. They're experiencing, well, out-of-the-body things, voices coming in, entities channeling, energies coming from rocks, Reiki healing that involves spirit guides. And so they have – there's no question they have many experiences. They have many things going on. But what side of the fence is it coming from? And here's the fact. In all those cases, along with me, before I got saved, I was at a Buddhist temple learning how to leave my body. And the whole goal this master taught us was to get to actually engage the ascended masters, the wise ones. And if they wanted to, let them come into our bodies and speak to us. Now, that never happened to me. But we were excited about, like, oh, we're going to talk to these ancient powerful ones, and they'll give us more powers in our martial arts, and they'll give us wisdom and enhancements, and we'll be able to get out of our bodies and visit. All those things are possible, but they're like layers, more and more layers, blanketing after blanket of darkness that is kind of like sealing our fate. And I was blanketed heavily, but all it took was one. I was at a party. People were just doing drugs and doing everything else, and I was there, and all my, quote, everybody knew I was a, quote, spiritual man. Well, one individual came to this party, lit up for Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. He literally walked into a party of over 40 to 50 people and just unleashed the gospel everywhere. When I saw him, I literally got chills because I knew whatever he had was different than what I had. I literally ran from him and hid from him on the back porch waiting for him to go away. But when he walked out on that porch, Carlotta, I was blown away. The power was clean. The power was right. It was righteous. It was right. It was God. It was and I knew, and I kept on wondering, why am I, you know, afraid of this guy? Well, I wasn't saved. That's the night that I, you know, 5 hours later, I got saved and
Wow. Totally
turned. But it was because of this incredible, greater, you know, presence. I knew the difference once I was engaged. But when I just lived in the darkness, I didn't know anything but the darkness.
Well, Praise God for that young man that had the guts and the courage and was led by the Holy Spirit to go there that night.
Absolutely, Steve.
That's
his name was
awesome.
Steve. Absolutely, he did it.
You know, there are a lot of people that I kind of watch some of these things, and there are a lot of people that go to the New Age festivals, and they'll just set up booths and they'll be prophesying over people and you know, just being out there for God. And I'm just so thankful for those people that have the courage to do that.
Absolutely. Well, I think that's when we look at the book of Acts, when Jesus said go, and again, what do we have, 5% of the body going out there? I came from a church service, and I love the church I'm going to. I care about it. It's not all that I would love to see it be, but I'm there, and I'm there in obedience to the Lord to do my part. But I think in terms of in that service, 1,500 people and so forth, and what I know about evangelism, most believers are not on the field like in the book of Acts. We're not hunting down, going house to house in the temple courts. We're not going to the highways and the byways to compel people. So the effort and the passion and the time spent, we must cry out, God, you know, that's where revival has to strike the church. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of 1,500 members in a service, if 500 of them were literally praying this week, Lord, help me reach somebody for Jesus. I'll go down there to that street and knock on that apartment door, or I know that my daughter's friends are having a party at such and such place. I'm going to pray it up. I'm going to go right down there and start witnessing them. And what are they going to do? I mean, they can kick you out, they get mad, but whether it's in a biker bar or whether it's on the streets or whether it's in the university, we've had more trouble with principals at a school than we've had with bikers at a biker bar when it came to witnessing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We've had principals tell us, get off the property, don't come around here. You know, the Bible's not for the classroom. We've had more trouble and resistance. When we loved the people, we spent 2 years after teaching theology 3 hours on Friday nights and teaching ministry stuff. We would get something to eat, and a number of us we targeted a very heavy duty, like biker rock and roll. It was a bar. A big, loud, you know, bar, and fights constantly and whatever. Well, 4 or 5 of us, we'd go in there. We'd talk to the owner. We'd order a cranberry juice or an orange juice. Then he made coffee for us in the winter. We would go in there, just sit next to somebody and start a conversation. And that would lead us into sharing why we were there. We've led bouncers to Christ, ex-dancer. I mean, people that used to be like girls that were dancers, not while we were in there, but we met people left and right that needed ministry. We had some people get bugged and like, what are you doing here? But to get, you know, the other side of the truth is, in that bar that we spent 2 years of going to in evangelism and ministering to people and taking people out and praying with them out on the sidewalks and so forth, we met quite a few believers that were backslidden and drinking. One believer walked up to me and said they saw, because I was a well-known pastor in the area. We've been in the newspapers. They came up to me and said, Pastor Russ, what in the world are you doing here? And I simply looked at him and I said, I'm looking for you.
Aww.
And he put his head down. And so we've led backsliders back. So it doesn't have to be that everybody goes to a bar. What about the golf course? What about, you know, like you say, the festivals, the Renaissance fairs? The early church knew how to target where to go, people areas and people groups. My grandmother was the greatest out of all the people over all the years. When I got to lead my grandmother from Dalmatia, Croatia, she was 79, and I couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand it because she was a loving woman, loved us. I loved my grandma. But I went to her, and I could not stand that she didn't know Christ. And I got a phone going off here, and I can't find it. And so we really had trouble with, you know, on the street, you know, other places. But it came down to a grandmother and out of Yugoslavia, and no one ever told her the gospel. And she's 79. Well, I led her to Jesus that day, and it was amazing to me. She knew she was saved. She called her own daughters. She told them. She knew she was going to die. The Lord visited her. She told everybody. She put a piece of tape on every little item in her little senior citizen's apartment. And I was there one exact year later when she died. And she knew, though, explicitly where she was going. She had no fear. It was really incredible. But whether it's your grandmother or whether it's a biker on the street, we've got to be out there.
Amen. Russ, I'm kind of interested in how you got really started in this avenue that the Lord just opened up for you. Was there an experience that you had encountered? Was it, do you think, coming from the Buddhist sort of influence that you had, or was there something else?
All I know is, like, when I got saved, it was a Cornelius experience for me. It was, because I left the apartment. It was my apartment. And I left there because I didn't want this guy to bother me any longer. I was afraid of him. And I left there and went home, 30 miles away to my mom and dad's home and said, I'm staying here tonight. But it was, hours and hours of struggling in my head. I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know anything about Holy Spirit conviction. Or all I knew was I felt so inundated by that same presence. I just couldn't get Jesus out of my mind. And that night when I turned to Jesus and said, just, Lord, I don't know anything about you. Just come in my life. Be my Savior and Lord. It's like the doors blew off. Jesus came in. I knew that I was saved. I knew his presence came in. I knew darkness went out. Now, here's what I'm just saying. All I knew is I wanted everybody to know Jesus. I wanted them to know the love of God, the power of God, the reality. So I think more than anything, the commitment to evangelism and just, even the churches I went to, all I cared about was going to anybody and everybody getting people saved. And in the context, though, even back in the late 70s, you're meeting people that were, into spiritual stuff and astrology or whatever, or friends that I knew that were into the occult. We were into Buddhism, but we were also into anything occult-wise that we could get our hands on, we were reading and getting into. But God kind of intervened before we went any darker, I believe. So I think it's because of what I was into, because I knew that side was real. The experiences I had were real. The powers were real. The energies that were coming were real. But none of it was of God. None of it led me to God. None of it. I was there for years doing that stuff. But none of it led me to God. It was when I came to Jesus and the Spirit of God came in. There was an instant relationship. And his power and his power was clean and clear as compared to all those things. So I think that in evangelism, and maybe it was like in the early 80s, we were into youth ministry really heavy in all of our city. Thousands of young people were dealing with in small groups houses that were related to local schools. But we saw Satanism among kids cropping up everywhere. So I formed a little group back in like 1980 called Shatter the Darkness. We said, okay, this is the Shatter team out of our youth ministry, and we're going to, just like people target Jews for Jesus or cops for Christ or youth for Christ, we're going to target these kids and go after any kid that's into Satanism.
Oh, wow.
Well, when we did that, though, we found every single school we had that issue. They were either into the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey. But once we got to engage kids that were into stuff, we found out that some of them were demonized, so we definitely had to deal with the demons. Mm-hmm. When demons are throwing people on the floor and speaking through their mouths and cussing, and you get a real quick, education in what we had to do. But then we found out they had adults that were teaching them, that there were real covens out there, and that's when I said, I'm going to study everything I can, everywhere I can go. I met a law enforcement guy providentially. He took me to a police academy to learn cult crime and all the stuff. So we had no idea. The day I came home from the police academy, that night a lady calls about a 14-year-old in a psych ward, demonized, going to put herself, gas on herself, and burn herself out of dedication to her mother. So we go over there to the psych ward. We lead this girl, 14 years old, to Christ. Immediately, we start getting calls, attacks. They're coming after us. The mother is a high, high mother of darkness type priestess. And this whole issue of the satanic underground, we were taken to coven ritual sites. The 14-year-old I'm talking about is now, the girl is now 35. She was sitting here the other night. The coven is out there. The mother is still doing rituals. There's still a lot of danger with it. So that's what kind of began in the 80s, that led us to say, you know what, I got kind of bugged, and I was pastoring, and I was still doing this shatter. When I left the youth ministry stuff, they didn't want to keep the shatter group, so that's like in 1982, 83, whatever, somewhere around there, we formed Shatter, and they kind of formalized it as a separate little group that just would target Satanists or Wiccans or pagans or New Agers or anybody like that, but it just, we got victim after victim. 50 churches in our city eventually would bring to us demonized people that they would not deal with. They would, even the largest church, 10,000 member church right here in town, I had 100 of their people come. And the whole bottom line, you know, it bugged me because they wouldn't do what, you know, Luke chapter 10, Jesus taught. I felt that deliverance was a powerful, compassionate ministry. You can't get rid of the demons any other way. So we said, okay, we'll take, I don't care, we'll take every, whoever comes. Police people bring us, you know, demonized people, psychiatrists, pastors, teachers, but we would make them sit in there. We would make them sit right in there when the thing occurred, and they would see. It was unbelievable to them when they would see it for themselves and hear the demonic. It's one thing to have an attachment, but full-blown possession where they talk out of the mouth, they scream, they say, you know, they speak in other languages and stuff. When psychiatrists would see this, when police officers, and probably the ones that got scared, we had one time with these bikers that I got called into a case where this woman was totally demonized, and these biker guys, five or six of them, were holding her down. And once we commanded, and the demonic presence came all the way up and started speaking, these bikers ran out of there like crazy.
I love it. Here I am, the 60-year-old grandma.
Exactly. It's all about your spiritual. There are folks. I have a Christian attorney that looked at me one time and said, Russ, man, I'm so glad you're out there doing this stuff because it scares the wits out of me. I don't want nothing to do with it. Like,
oh man, that's sad. Yeah,
it is very sad, and my mentality is this: being, and it's cost us. I'm not going to kid anybody. It is.
That's right.
There's a big price, and you know, they came to our church building to steal my daughter when she was two. There's a lot of things that cost us, but. And people have asked, well, didn't that scare you, or didn't, you know, people try to stab you? I said, well, no, because what we also saw was not only the blood and guts of the demonization and demons and spiritual warfare and curses and bloody coven ritual objects brought to our doorsteps. We all that stuff was real. All that stuff was bad. But we got to see again and again and again the overwhelming authority of Christ when it came to the demonic. The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit in helping us, giving us discernment. When the demons would say, there's no one else here, but the Holy Spirit said, no, there's 12 more.
Yeah. Liars.
You know, that type of thing, sure. And people get healed, or those who are richly abused. You and I both know the richly abused cannot get out just through psychological mental counseling. There is deliverance. There is inner healing. There is finding truth. There is the deep and the sweet compassion of Jesus to heal little ones inside. There's just no other way. So we've got to see the providence of God in protection at times. I tell the story in the book about the federal officer's wife. We're in a federal officer's home. His wife's in a high-powered occult multiple from Germany, and we had numerous problems with her because we were constantly set up for the coven to, you know, hurt us or whatever. So they got people with weapons in the home. They're guarding things. The coven's trying to pull her out and trigger her. So next thing I know, this little 110-pound, you know, woman calls me and says, someone wants to talk to you. Step over in the other room. So I step in the other room. Instantly she switches to Iris, a demonized cult priestess-oriented personality, looking at me with her arms around her waist. I didn't know why at first, but inching towards me and saying, what's the matter? Are you afraid of a little woman like me? And but it was like instantaneously the Holy Spirit said, she's going to stab you.
Mm-hmm.
She's pulled out a needle that was 6 to 8 inches long. She tried to stab me, a needle, right from the sash. She had a sash around her waist. It was all set up from the coven. Mm-hmm. And so she pulls it out and tries to stab me in the solar plexus area. And, of course, it was instantaneously the Holy Spirit said, that's what's going to happen. And it was like not even – it was like a second. And it occurred, and I was able to grab her arms. And, of course, they're always stronger when they got subpersonality and demonization. And it turned into a little bit of a struggle. The federal officer, the husband comes running in. The other people come running in. She fights them, runs to the kitchen, breaks the needle in half, throws half of it down to the garbage disposal. Other staff members get there. She goes to the ground, manifests total demon power and presence speaking out of her. The federal officer, never seen anything like this, we finally just come down to the point of commanding the demonic to leave. And it was like, you know how it works sometimes, just like a instantaneously change. Once there's this raging, screeching, fight, fighting, and all of a sudden everything goes blank, they go completely calm, the spirit leaves, and they're back to their senses. And when this occurred, the officer sitting on the ground holding his wife, he just, in a uncontrollable crying, he couldn't conceive what just occurred, and he saw it all, and he had to be there for it all. And this is though seeing the hand of God, like in the book of Acts, I say, you know what, being on the field of ministry is the most supernatural place in the world to be. It's the most protected place.
Mm-hmm.
God is with us. I mean, the Lord stands by our side. We are guarded and protected and led and directed, and all the things we see in the book of Acts are experiential. I don't want to just experience them and just say, I'm not talking about just, entertainment. I'm saying that it's ministry skill, ministry directive, supernaturally, even the idea of Paul getting the vision for going to Macedonia because the Spirit of God said, don't go to Bithynia, don't go to Malaysia. Just that kind of thing in the context of ministry once again shows the incredible supernatural side to what the body of Christ should be all about.
Well, I know, Russ, that some people are probably scared and others are wowed, but I want to say this, that years ago in the 80s, before I knew anything about my spiritual power and authority, when I was a mental health nurse, they would give me the most dangerous patients that we had that were down on their knees growling and fighting and all this, and people that were much more dangerous, and they learned very quickly to assign them to me, because even though my walk with Christ was nothing special at that time, the very presence of Christ in me would calm that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't
sure.
understand myself. I just knew that I had one thing that nobody else in the mental health unit had. I had Christ. And I wasn't doing anything or even praying anything. It's the very presence of Christ. So for those of you that are starting to be more scared than you were before the program, what we're saying is you've got what it takes.
Amen.
And the demons know you have what it takes. I've had mm-hmm. quite a few witches tell me, we can discern somebody that knows who they are in Christ as soon as we walk in the room. And that's what you're saying. I mean, they know they have to have a special plan to get you, because if you know that you have Christ and who you are in Christ, then the next step would be to know that greater is he that's in you. And I've also had witches say that they would go to church services looking for somebody that had more power than they did.
Exactly. That's exactly how it goes. What they experience is real. The powers they have are real. They're just from the dark side. When we talk about counterfeit, every charismatic gifting can be counterfeited, and spirits can give them a counterfeit. Like with counterfeit doctrine, counterfeit presence, counterfeit any kind of gifting or working, and they talk about the third eye being open to their abilities and so forth. So they know that, and so engaging. I mean, just engaging them. How can they believe in whom they've not heard? That's got to happen. And so we just know that keep doing ministry. The hand of God is with us. There'll be times when things can be scary, but the truth is, like with Saul of Tarsus that got saved, Acts chapter 9, filled with the Spirit of God. He began to do ministry. He began to do it. And here's what Acts 9:22 says. He grew more and more powerful. And that's what can happen to all of us. We can grow more and more powerful along the way.
Well, that comes to just what I was going to ask next, Russ. Do you conduct lessons or seminars to people on teaching them what to do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we've done that for like 20-some years, and we started putting the courses up online. And at first, we, you know, it was one way of charging to get, you know, to be able to be doing what we're doing. But at this point, all the courses are going out free now. They could be courses anywhere from 12 hours to 55 hours of the teaching sessions. We have a course in theology that's 55 hours. We have a course called Confronting the Powers through the Great Commission, and that's all about spiritual warfare in the context of evangelism, and that's like 25 hours of MP3s and study notes. There's a Freedom Encounter course that we have. It's a very basic thing we taught here on how to deal with inner healing, deliverance, working with multiples coming in, victims. There's a number of other, you know, we have one on called Sexual Decadence and the End of Man, Theocentric Counseling, the Book of Daniel. So there's a number of courses and training things that we got out, and we do them locally, and we've taught in local churches here for years, and now we've done, I think, five conferences. The one coming up would be the sixth conference this year, and I've got two more to go. So it'll be eight conferences like this year.
Speaking of that, tell us about the one October 1st and 2nd, even though this will be out of date one day when this is in the archives. I want our listeners, we have so many tonight, to know what it is you'll be sharing about on October 1st and 2nd.
Oh, sure. The conference here in Canton, Ohio is October 1st and 2nd, Friday night and all day Saturday. I'll be speaking three sessions. Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio, they'll be speaking. They're both book authors also, and Tom Horn, that has done a lot of work on transgenics and the whole genetic side of human enhancements and spiritual warfare on a kind of scientific level of what's going on out there. He'll be there. Jeffrey Ratt will be there from Look Up Fellowship. So on the website, shatterthedarkness.net, there it'll say Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. The coordinator from Mansfield, Ohio, Tom Dunn, he termed it that. I think it's a good term. So it's going to be kind of a bringing out some cutting-edge insight onto what's going on in the scientific world that's leading to the globalism that is supernaturally inspired from the dark side. We're going to touch on a number of themes, but again on what's the answer and what do we need to do. So a lot of it deals with exposure. There's definite time for anybody who wants to come. Canton, Ohio, my backyard, basically. And there's an entire website on the conference coming up. And all they'd have to do is go to ours and look up the name Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference.
Yeah, if you can find it. I had to look over the homepage twice, and then I went back to the newsletter and found it there.
Yeah.
You offer so, so much. And we even have some interviews with Russ in our Now Faith TV Ministry Training School and in our download store from in the past, because for some of you, this is you're feeling like, oh, man, this is way ahead of me. I don't know how to catch up to where he is. And maybe we should just say a couple sentences about the relationship of some of the words that you're throwing out. For instance, people that are in Satanism like to, of course, train up other people, and they often take their little hand before they're 2 years old and force them to be involved in the ritual sacrifices, splitting their personality. I'm oversimplifying this, but splitting, breaking them into fragments so that they can develop multiple personalities and hopefully program them to do their bidding at their timing. And then the bigger picture of this is how it relates to the one world order of programming people, and then all kinds of other ways through Skull and Bones Fraternity and different ways that even our leaders have been programmed to do the bidding of the One World Order. And so we're not just talking about regular deliverance here, as exciting as that is, but we're talking about interfering with the Antichrist agenda to raise up a whole army of people who know how to suffer, who know how to be committed, and who know how to alter their budgets and their priorities for a cause.
Absolutely, and that's the sad part about it, because when I deal with victims, and I have, like, again, this one that we had here just the other day, or we have a 19-year-old that's wanting us to bring her out of her state here, and we've got a 38-year-old in Pennsylvania that wants, you know, they want safety, they want freedom, and every victim out of the millions, and that's what, again, America doesn't know and the church doesn't understand. In the 70s, this wasn't really occurring. Even the DSM-3, and you know, the earlier diagnostic manuals for the psychiatry and psychology, they didn't have this even in there. The victims began showing up by the tens and dozens and so forth, late 70s. But by the 80s, thousands and thousands. By the 90s, 2.5 million. Now we're into the millions. It's costing the insurance industry literally hundreds of millions. And here's lives of millions of people that have been ruined. And that's just the ones that want to get out and get help. Now, there's just as many that are not even getting out. And we have now dealing with, like, people in their 50s, their kids in their late 30s, their kids in the 20s, their kids that are 9 and 10. We now have four generations. It mm-hmm. doesn't stop. They're taking us all the way down. And so the numbers are increasing. For every single richly abused person I meet in, like, this city here, that means that if they've been brought into it as a baby, and, like you said, brought into doing stuff, unheard of things, they've gone through at least between baby and 13 years old, they've probably gone through 500 rituals, each one.
And now,
And that's interesting.
They were
right?
The ones that were being victimized too. They're not
absolutely.
Just watching. They're being victimized. They're being raped or tortured or, you know, tortured and told to cry out to God, see if He saves you. And Russ, I just have to amen what you were just saying. Just as a little individual that didn't know much about any of this, I was a mental health nurse for so many years, and I didn't see SRA as a diagnosis until the 80s. I said, "What is that?" I remember when I asked somebody what that was, and I was in a big city in Atlanta, but when I moved to Florida near Tallahassee, which is one of the high places of the whole nation for satanic and witchcraft activity, all of a sudden a huge percentage of my own clients, because I was in had my own private ministry by then, they were all the ones teaching me about satanic ritual abuse and being a survivor of a cult. And they taught me how to minister to them and taught me their language and taught me that we don't need to map everything, you know, and do all this that therapists will do. We just need to learn how to bring it all to Jesus, and He can make a person whole again. Only Jesus can do that.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, we're beyond that, you know, as far as, you know, like if you find a victim where you live and they were born and raised in your city and they're, you know, they've been through, let's just say the lowest number possible, 500 rituals by the time they're 13 or whatever, that means there's a coven that's been operative there for, you know, 30, 40 years. That means that there's probably, if you find one local victim in a psych ward, that means there's 30 or 40 or many others in the city. So right now the categorization of 500 million satanic rituals in the United States in the last 30 years, 40 years, people would say, well, you know, that's almost unbelievable. But look at 2 Kings chapter 21, 22, Manasseh and all that he did, including sacrificing his own son. And God gave the report. He said that it's become so wicked, so bad, that innocent blood has been shed from one side of the nation to the other.
Mm-mm.
That's how broad it became way back then. It's no different. The same dark presence is here. They've got an agenda. It's coming, you know, closer and closer to the final days, and we have to be unleashed as never before in response.
Well for anybody that doesn't understand all the different kinds of programming and all of this, we don't probably have time to cover that tonight, but I'll just point you to something on the website. At the top left of our website at www.cwlinc.com, and you can see that address on our Blog Talk Radio description too, you'll see a link that says Survivor's Homepage. And on that, you'll see a questionnaire and the results of the questionnaire where 250 survivors filled out this questionnaire saying who abused them, who was it? Was it coven? You know, where was it? What kind of people was it? What kind of diagnosis resulted? What kind of help have you sought? And you can see all these different kinds of mind control and programming that they were put through, and that could be something that, you know, you may want more information about, or some of you may be having memories. Many times when you're in your 30s and 40s, survivors start having memories, and they may not have even known that they were a survivor themselves. They thought they just went to camp when they were a kid, and they didn't know it was for military mind control or something. And so if you see all that and God is telling you, you know, you might need help for this, please give us a call. Or Russ, give Russ a call, depending if you're in Ohio or Pittsburgh or if you want to go to a man or a woman or whatever. But there's help in Jesus, and it's not dependent on my skill or Russ's skill. It's that Jesus can handle it, and he died for you, and he will set you free.
That's absolutely true.
You know, Russ, I was looking at your website last week, I guess it was, and I noticed that you had a link to a little news item that in Oklahoma, coming up on the 21st of October, that the Satanist Luciferians will have some sort of ritual up there in the city civic center.
That it's something new. Now, there's a difference between, you know, the Anton LaVey Satanists, the traditional Satanism, non-traditional, and Temple of Set, and then the undergrounders where the splitting and programming, the brotherhood. So it's kind of like the more popular yet traditional Satanists that are, they're renting out the Civic Center. They're going to have ritual. They're trying to keep it to where they guard who comes because they don't want a bunch, you know, their thing is they don't want a bunch of Christians showing up, but unbelievable. Like in anybody's town, I mean, it's going to be drawing, you know, I don't know how large it will be, but it's going to be all about satanic rituals. And they're unleashing them and joining together. And if anybody's read the Satanic Bible or look at the literature, well, they, you know, their thing is Christian blood. Their mentality is too many Christians, not enough lions is one of their bumper stickers. So there is not just the development of Satanism, but at the core of popular or traditional Satanism is an utter hatred of Christianity in the first place. And many people that get into it, especially kids, again, unguarded, unaided, they're looking for power, promised power, of course, sex, and all kinds of other stuff is involved. And but that's a public ritual.
Especially in September and October, mention that, how they're just looking for human sacrifices. And to know where your kids are in September and October, don't let them visit parties that you don't know about with strangers and all of this.
Absolutely. That's
well,
absolutely.
Figured, like what you were talking about, Russ, I just figured after I was reading that they probably weren't going to do their worst stuff there, that they're probably going to be doing something that's a little bit more socially acceptable. I mean, it probably won't be really what I would consider acceptable at all. But, you know, a lot of people just see it as another religion. I'll let them be, let them do their thing. But, hey, they don't know. They don't know what those folks really and truly do. They don't know how many children are killed and how many people are raped and how many people are abducted and how many bones are ground up of folks that they'll never find.
Exactly. Exactly. And even if it's the so-called popular Satanist, Anton LaVey type, in that Satanic Bible, there are destruction rituals, death rituals. Rituals alone, whether we consider them light level or really heavy duty blood rituals. By the way, here's an alert. Tonight, September 20th, is the Hands of Glory. In our city, a defense attorney called me in. Well, a girl was slaughtered and stabbed and sexually abused, and it was really bloody and really bad. But after about 2 hours of that, when they killed her, they cut off her hands, and the hands are used. Well, they're used with, they put herbs and stuff, bury them, petrify them, basically, and use them on altars. So tonight, September the 20th, all across America, most undergrounders know, right here on Monday night, there will be this ritual out there across the nation. And we got engaged and called into a to a case right here in Akron, and they never found the girl's hands to this day. It's been years later. So there are so many, and like Ezekiel chapter 8 and 8, because Christians will say to me sometimes, Russ, how can you believe there's that many things going on? Well, number one, we've dealt now in 25 years of this and engaged, you know, we've had time to do the physical research, because we started back in the 80s of building a little team, because when we heard the stories about all these rituals here and these people here, and this, we decided to build a team that would go and track down, because the story seemed so beyond anything. So we decided we're going to do this. We're going to take license plates, give them to our cop friends. They're going to run an NCIC. We're going to go wherever we need to go, whatever we need to do, we're going to hunt down the information. Well, that put us right into the faces of Coven members, right in the faces of danger, and, you know, whether it's knives or bullets or whatever. It put us right in the face of the actual places and where these stories were real, and the people were real, and finding a head priest or finding and engaging them. So we, you know, we can read all the literature, and there's tons of evidential literature, but we've also, you know, engaged it. Ezekiel 8, in the city of God, nobody knew, not even the great prophet. God had to supernaturally lead him, and by God's power, break open a hole into the cavern, open the door, and show Ezekiel that a historic serpent luciferic worship, including human sacrifice, had been going on for years and years and years in the city of God, and no one knew it until God, and that's why I believe it's God's will to find out and deal with it. I'm saying to everybody, in every city in the United States, every city, every township that that's my belief in all of our research, you've got victims, you've got covens, you've got rituals, you've got blood on the city ground, you've got doorways open to powers. That's why you feel your city is dark, your city is oppressed, because the number one way to get demons from their side to our side is human and blood sacrifice, and it's just been massive.
Much bigger. There weren't milk cartons with children on them, new children, you know, in the post office and all that when we were little. It's just massive now, and it's not a time for Christians to continue to be in denial. We need to fulfill our job description, get out there, and have a compassion of Christ to really care about people.
Mm-hmm.
And if nothing else, you can forward the articles that I send out and that Russ, you know, his broadcasts and everything. You can forward them to other people so that they can learn that this is not only real, it's huge. And in the past, Satanists have been more quiet about it, and they've grown, you know, but now they're just getting so overt. You know, they're just really coming out, and it's just incredible. And in the past, I thought of it more as a satanic agenda. I thought in terms of satanic covens and abuse and all, but now the devil is just really manifesting through these demons that claim to be extraterrestrials and all of this, and that is huge now. And so I don't know what it's going to take to wake up the body of Christ. But it's like anything else. If it happens to you, it's real. And we don't need it to come to that point where it has to be us that's abducted to believe. We've got to learn our spiritual power and authority now. So that's why you see online ministry training schools popping up in all different ministries, is because there's such an urgency for people to be trained and to be able to disciple others here in the end times.
That's right.
Absolutely.
I tell you, it was a very, very God-appointed time when I found Carlotta, and I'm so thankful, because she teaches on a lot of things that other people wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole, like my mother would say.
Exactly.
Well, the devil's willing to touch you, so you might as well learn it. I don't know if anyone wants to call in. I imagine they're all just going, wow. But if there's someone that wants to call in, or someone that wants prayer tonight, maybe you're a survivor, or maybe you've been abducted, or maybe you know someone in your family that you'd like prayer for that has been. Our number is 917-388-4683, 917-388-4683. And I'd like to invite you, Russ, to give some contact information now halfway through. I don't know if everybody can stay up till 11, but you know, if you'd like to give your contact information, go ahead.
Sure. Ours would just simply be the best thing to do, Shatter the Darkness, one word, shatterthedarkness.net. Again, very busy site, so just kind of go down the middle part first, and that'll give you the weekly stuff. On the right-hand side, scrolling down a little bit, you'll find where it talks about contact. It'll give you how you get direct contact. But that's the site that leads, you know, to all the information, hundreds of downloads that are free. Any and all the training courses we're doing now are all free. Conference materials from the past are up that we've done and that we've had, you know, any kind of leadership, and it's all free. So they'll find tons of stuff there, and that's where they'll find everything, shatterthedarkness.net.
Amen. Well, Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil, and we want to just focus on he came to give us life and life abundantly, but he also said, I came to destroy the works of the devil. You know what that means? That means we can do it.
Exactly. And I love that because, you know, when you read 1 John 3:8 and you see that, you know, this is the agenda. You know, again, this is where theology comes in for all the pastors and churches and theologians and so forth. What, you know, the arrival, it includes, yes, the birth. It includes the angels. It includes, you know, all the stuff that we know of and really love to hear about. But it also includes that it wasn't, in a real sense, an act of war spiritually, that he came to destroy what was here that was, well, you can look at Hebrews chapter 2, that again, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in our humanity. He came to destroy death. He came to destroy Satan. He came to destroy the works of Satan. He came to break the power of sin. Just at the cross alone is where I even tell Satanists face-to-face that it's the most spiritually powerful wielding that could ever be conceived, because there, when Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, when he went there and did what he did, he literally broke the power of sin.
Amen.
The sin nature of death, of hell, of Satan's rights, of separation with God. Everything has been taken care of there at the cross. That's how powerful, how immense this is. And because of that, we can, you know, when we hear the message of Jesus, like me, when I first started hearing things, I was trying to block it, get away from it, party. You know, I already had spirituality, so I didn't need it. You know, and that's how I see a lot of New Agers and others and people that think, well, I already got something. But that something, it either came, you know, from hell's kitchen or it came out of, you know, heaven's table. You know, either God has sent it. So there's two sides to deal with. There's two supernaturally operating, you know, presences. So you have Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, born into the world, walking on water, raising the dead, healing sick people, mm-hmm. going to a cross, and the resurrection alone blasts apart the finality of death. He's coming again, and yet it's in the context that he had to deal with Matthew chapter 4. Satan himself engages Jesus, has the audacity to try to get Jesus to bow down to him. We have, you know, Satan in the end entering into Judas to go betray Christ. You have Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, Satan trying to enter in. The darkness hasn't gone away. We just simply now have the way to know about it, be free from it, have authority over it, freedom from it. And then the ultimate end, of course, is when Jesus returns and the final judgment and the, you know, containment, well, the end of all this, which means the end of little girls getting raped, little boys getting, you know, ritualized, the end of war, the end of all of these things is what the Prince of Peace will bring in the end. But right now, he can bring that to our hearts.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just want to invite you not to be discouraged. You can go to our ministry training school online at nowfaith.tv and learn all kinds of things. Get the insights you need so that you can minister effectively to people. But, of course, while you think you're going there to learn how to minister to others, God will be doing a huge work in your own heart. But then you'll have that to impart to other people. And what we're offering, you know, survivors, we're offering people that have been abducted or contacted by these so-called aliens and, you know, oppressed with the demonic doctrine that they've got and doctrine of demons and all. What we're offering is real healing and deliverance, and it's not that we have to come up with a whole nother game plan, that Jesus just works, you know. We just know how to get people really healed and free, and we just want you to have hope that you can learn how to do this too. It's the same thing that Jesus did, and it, like Russ was just saying, we have that same Christ that was able to do all this in us, and he has all power in heaven and earth. And we don't need to beg for power, beg for fruit or gift or anything else, because when we have Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit inside us. We got it all, baby.
Absolutely. And in us being a part of that mission, that's where we carry. Like, I love Acts chapter 8, where Philip, a second-generation believer, you know, doing the Great Commission, you know, he could have been someone who went away to hide because Saul of Tarsus was breathing out murderous threats. The church had been scattered. Stephen had been killed. But instead, Philip decides, you know what, I'm going to do the mission. So he carries the presence of the kingdom of God, the presence of the living Christ, right into Samaria, which is a city that's taken over by a guy that claims to have the great power. It says there, the high and the low. We're all, you know, captivated and amazed by this guy with dark powers. So Philip comes to town and starts unleashing the gospel. The recording of that whole issue in Acts chapter 8 is that demons come out of people, people have gotten healed, people have gotten saved, and the whole city is full of joy. The whole city is full of joy. So that's, and I think all believers need to know this, because there's so much conspiracy, so much end time stuff, so much anger against politics, that revival, until Jesus comes, everything that he does, including his ability to strike with revival in answer to prayer, it's all going to be there. We can still see this. And Carlotta and Teresa, this is what, you know, like the conference coming up. Fine, we're going to bring out information. My mentality, though, is let's pray for a massive impact of the Spirit of God. At most of the conferences we've saw, the goal, we've got to lead people to Jesus. Between two conferences, we baptized 16 people in water. And we've done deliverance prayers for people. And this conference coming up, I'm sure that there's going to be people in need, people that want to grow. But we also have the dark side coming to infiltrate.
Mm-hmm. We had an infiltrator on our program a couple of weeks ago. He didn't say anything, but he was trying to cause huge distractions. We just had to shut it down. But we left it so that he could hear, because I'm sure he's interested like anyone else. If there's a greater power than what I've got, I want to know about it. And Teresa was saying earlier that maybe we should have some trainings for people. And so if you feel a little bit overwhelmed, like I'm not on this level, but I would be interested in starting from where I am, then I want to say that we will be in Florida the end of this month and the end of next month. If you're in the South somewhere and you'd like to host a training seminar to teach people how to get started, knowing how to minister more effectively to get people healed and delivered, please contact us. We may be able to put it in between these two trips or before or after. And if you would like ministry yourself or even personal restoration prayer ministry, please contact us, because that's what we're about. And while we're already down south, we might as well minister to you too.
There you go.
Well, Russ, what were you saying earlier, too, about there being a whole new, I'd like you to share with our listeners, a whole new breed that's coming of super soldiers, and we're going to be seeing the whole manifestation of a plan that's been not so obvious so far.
Sure. In all these years, when we first began to see this, like even 20 years ago, a lot of those that had the, you know, well, the demonization was one thing. But the creation of sub-personalities. Now, this is where even psychiatry had to come and rewrite their diagnostic manual, and it's their main stuff where they acknowledge multiple personality disorder, they call it, or DID now, dissociative identity disorder. Now, that's their terminology. It is not the terminology of the underground covens that have gotten this, well, I call it a technology, an ability. It goes back to the Nazis, to the old what's called Black Flame. It was brought, of course, after the war, it went worldwide, came here deeply in the United States. U.S. military took it in. Matter of fact, the top psychiatrist in the world in 1945, G.H. Estabrooks, hired by the military, finally wrote a book, which I got a copy of the book myself, where they discussed how they've learned how to create sub-personalities. They can turn these personalities into assassins or reconnaissance agents, disinformation agents, whatever they want to program into them. Now, what he didn't deal with is the larger and broader satanic plot. And that's why we've mentioned, where did millions of these victims come from?
Mm-hmm.
The first wave of them coming in the early 80s, well, they're now in their late, you know, mid-50s, late 50s, but they've had children, and those children have had children, and now they've had children. So we're down into, you know, in some cases where all four generations are multiple, demonized, coven-oriented, where they've been through, we're talking stuff that is not really on any bookshelf you can purchase. The ancient twilight languages, ancient rituals, the technology to cause the split, bond the new personality to themselves, program it. That means just simply imposing an agenda into it mentally, and then demonizing that part of them. Now, that could be that someone inside is created to be a priestess,
mm-hmm.
or an assassin, or a hunter, or a ritual worker, or a runner, or an informer, or an enforcer, whatever they want. In the federal officer's wife, she had 1,700 personalities, separate to her main one. Unbelievable.
Say that again. How many?
She had 1,700.
My word.
And she had a system on the inside that was layered to where if we did engage and bring deliverance from the demons and then Jesus coming in to heal the personalities, she had backup inside. Of course, when she was abducted by the underground, and we went so many times, we had to hide her out, you know, keep her from the, you know, this coven group. Because whenever she got taken away and was missing for 2 or 3 days, she'd come back with new personalities, more demonization, definitely been punished because she talked to us or was trying to get out of the coven. So this is the big issue, is that when we started dealing with it, okay, we're here to see them get saved, get delivered from demons and helped and healed. But in dealing with the sub-personalities, spending thousands and thousands of hours talking to them, meeting them places, in all kinds of states and places, here's what we found out. In what they call themselves are VWBs, Babylon Working Babies, or chosen ones in the satanic sense. There's different terminology they use, so I don't use the psychological terminology really. They believe, the bottom line is, whether we do or not, they believe they were specially created, enhanced with all these personalities to be actually extra things to help them, the demonization powers. The whole goal is that they believe they're being created to be the troops of Antichrist, so that when, as they call it, when all hell, they call it the Black Awakening, when all chaos and anarchy is unleashed in America and Canada and Europe to collapse the, you know, the nations, to collapse the infrastructure, so that a new regime can come, a new globalism, a new leader can come, they believe that they will be here to create the anarchy and the chaos. They believe that they will be the enforcers, in the beginning at least, the enforcers of Antichrist and the new regime. We have found inside, and the ones I've dealt with, in every single case, when we've gotten deep down inside, we find that they have German-speaking personalities that are deeply versed in the Nazi and ideology and Hitler and so forth, but they believe that was only a testing ground, that the new world leader and the new order is coming. And they believe in a pure blood because they believe they've been through a process of backbreeding. They believe that they've got part of the blood of the old Nephilim, that they're genetically enhanced, that they're creating even more. I mean, there's even stories of in the breeding process of the goal of creating Nephilim, the goal of creating, you know, the bottom line is they believe they are the troops. That's their term, the troops of Antichrist. And that when the triggering, the nationally, you know, when they are released nationally, activated, that hundreds of thousands of them will be, you know, they'll switch personalities, demonized personalities will come up. They will kill. They will blow up things. They will shoot. They will create anarchy. They will shut down the electrical grid. They will cause, of course, martial law. They will bring sabotage in law enforcement and military because they're planted there as sleepers. They will take out pastors and leaders that they've already been assigned to during the chaos. The whole goal is to collapse current governmental systems and not to annihilate them, but just to collapse them so that they will cry out for a new, you know, they need a new world order. They need new leadership. They need new everything. And so that's what they have to say. And again, we have a lot of it in the military. We have found these kind of trained people in military, in law enforcement, in the feds, in the CIA, in the VOD, in churches everywhere that are the you know, they've infiltrated and causing trouble, and not so much even causing trouble. Many of them are just waiting without any intervention into their life. They are intact. They're waiting for the call. And they won't have any problem like in Texas. If you remember the shooter that walked into a Baptist church, walked in with a 9mm and started shooting people. It's that kind of, or like the V-Tech, Virginia Tech shooter that killed 30-some college students and supposedly never had a gun in his life, never handled a gun, but he had the kill rate, what they called 60% better than some SWAT teams. He was able to do an enormous amount of damage in a short amount of time. One little quiet boy turned into a killer, and he slaughtered many.
I've seen that, where just a tiny little preteen or early teen girl could hardly be subdued by big muscle-bound men, even on the mental health unit. I mean, she just went right through them like they were water. You know, we have a caller. Russ, are you up for taking a question?
Sure.
Okay. I apologize for not taking this sooner. I am so amazed at everything that you're sharing so quickly at one time. We'll have to have some follow-up programs to explain all this. But area code 724, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carlotta. Hi, Russ. How are you doing?
Doing good, thank you.
Yeah, and don't even apologize that I was on hold for this time, because you have so much to share. I'll tell you what's frustrating with me. Everything you're saying is exactly right on. The lack of knowledge and the lack of belief and the lack of courage, even for those who know and believe. I know of a person who has been involved to the deepest level, and it's so many generations. And this is in another country. And what I find the most discouraging is when the people who are supposed to be her psychiatrist, psychologist, whatever, tell her flat out, until you can deny that there is, until you can understand that this is all false memory syndrome, then we can't even move forward. And you are not to use us, we, them. You are to use I. I mean, in 11 months, this person has not made one iota of progress through their system. And they have, I'm talking about the mental health system, they have no clue. And they don't seem to have the resources. And I'm so glad that this program is on, because here's a resource. Now, this training seminar, is this, did I hear this correctly? Is this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week?
Oh, no, it's October the 1st and the 2nd, Friday night and Saturday. So you got about 2 weeks away. And
I'm really that I have some more time.
Sure, great. You
yeah,
come on up. And,
I'm sorry.
We'd love to see you come.
Yeah, I was gonna. I would have canceled three engagements on these days because it's that important for me to get the literature to pass it on, because this person, my ministry to her is that I just believe her and say, yes, I know, yes, I know, yes, I know, and you know, just sharing the power of Christ and just being available. But it irritates me to see that who is supposed to be helping her doesn't know how, and they don't believe her.
Right. Well, and it's you're absolutely right about this. Going anywhere in that, like when you go to to a psychiatric unit or whatever, or a psychologist, if they're just using hypnotherapy and drugs, all that happens is subpersonalities, and those subpersonalities that are demonized too, they all just kind of like beach balls. They're going down deep down inside. They don't go away. They don't leave it. You know, they're all there. And
well, what happens is they give so much drugs. And the parts that have been evangelized are just out, and the demonized parts, you can't drug a demon. And they're having a field day.
Exactly. And to mention to these people and try to convince them that it's not real, once again, the subpersonalities, and I know them very well, they'll just look at this kind of psychiatry and say, you guys are idiots, you guys are stupid. I'm telling you, this is exactly their words. I asked one guy one time, it was a subpersonality named Steve, and I said, you're going to a psychiatrist, why don't you, because they termed him bipolar, but I'm dealing with numerous inside personalities.
Right.
So I said, why don't you tell your psychiatrist? And so this inside personality says, he don't believe any of this stuff, why should I bother?
Right.
Now,
right.
The other thing you mentioned too is the False Memory Syndrome Foundation in Philadelphia.
Right. Right.
Now, notice, if anybody goes and researches, notice who two of the founders are. Dr. Orne and Dr. Jolly West, both psychiatrists, both hired by the CIA, both mind control specialists.
Uh-huh.
The False Memory Syndrome Foundation was developed by those who were afraid that the truth would get out.
Right.
And they're there to help, kind of stop and block this. So any psychiatrist or psychologist that has given into the, False Memory Syndrome Foundation, and there are psychiatrists, by the way, that just like in always, just like in the past, and Colton Ross has written about this, there's another book called The CIA, Psychiatry and CIA Doctors, where they literally out a lot of the CIA folks that have worked in mind control, specialty. So some of them know. And I don't know of any possible way using psychiatry, psychology in their sheer, realm of discipline of ever bringing any SRA out of it, helping the personalities. They could talk about, there are some that will talk about, integration. The deliverance issue is one thing. The healing issue is the other thing. Keeping them safe from perpetrators, pulling them back in, is another issue.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If some of you would like to hear Russ share on a previous interview about a particular case, we didn't give away a lot of details, but there's more continuity. We're kind of bouncing around to a lot of issues tonight. But if you'd like, I'd like to study one thing and stick with it. If you look on our ministry training school at nowfaith.tv, there's no .com to it, it's nowfaith.tv. On the internet, you'll see, I forget what year it is, but if you'll just kind of peruse through NowFaith TV ministry training classes, you'll see some interviews with Russ on these issues. And we kind of focused one year on a particular case of mind control and programming that involves second generation Nazi mind control victims, and he answered lots and lots of questions that some of you are asking. I know you're in the chat room saying, okay, are we talking about personalities? Are we talking about demons? And yeah, we are talking about personalities and multiple personalities, but of course a personality can have as many demons as it wants too. It's just that you can't cast out personalities, you only cast out demons. So if that would help you to go at a slower pace, you can just look on nowfaith.tv and just talk about one case at a time kind of thing. I hope that helped our caller. I don't know if her call was dropped or if she hung up, but appreciate Pat. She's been a great help to Crosswalk Talk in the past and has a whole lot of insights about multiple personalities and has shared about that subject on Cornerstone TV as well. Well, Russ, we have a few more minutes. We usually try to pray for our listeners the last at about 20 till. So we have a few more minutes. Would you like to remind them about the book that you've written, or what would you like to do that could help them know what to do from here if they want to know more?
Oh, sure. The book that is out is called, it's called The Black Awakening, with a subtitle, The Rise of Satanic Super Soldiers. It's a big book, over 660 pages. It is the first section deals with the kind of overview of all the agenda, biblical prophecy reveals. It deals with the psychological side, the military mind control, the history of the Nazis. It deals with a lot of that. The middle two sections deals with how do they do this? How do they, you know, when they, you know, this multi-generational underground, how do they split, program, demonize? Why do they have all the personalities? How do you deal with them? How do you know the difference? How do they work? How do they infiltrate the church? Where they're placed as sleepers? What is their ultimate agenda? And then the last segment of the book deals with our response and countermeasures and what do we do in the local church? What do we do in our evangelism? With the book, when anybody does get the book, we have 100 hours of training MP3s, just like if I gave a lecture here. Well, it's up as a 1 hour. So there's like 24 just that deal with the book. It's like the lecturing of the book in an MP3. There is one on Freeman County, like 26 hours on the basics of how to, just the basics of how to begin to do healing ministry, deliverance ministry with multiples. There's a spiritual warfare one. There's a book of Daniel. There's one called Satanism 101, which exposes the many varieties. So 100 hours of MP3s. There's a code in the back of the book where they go to the website. There's a website, theblackawakening.com, that's just about the book. It's all about the book. And there's free introductory MP3s, little video stuff where we've spoken on it, more information about the book. But and I've got probably a couple hundred books, you know, that I've quoted from in it. We've done a lot of research, but out of everything, the goal was to write what hasn't been written, what hasn't been told about how it's done and what is done and how many of these folks are out there. So the book is one of a kind in its approach, but it's going to give you a lot of training, again, that I would teach at the local college or a local Bible school or at a church that is now free whenever they get the book. And the only way they can do that, shadowthedarkness.net, just go there. You'll see where it says the book, and that will help. We've got a follow-up book coming up, another book coming up, so we'll continue to put as much as we can out to help out along the way.
Let me ask you this, Russ. That's a wonderful resource, and I think I'm planning on getting that. I would like to know, do you have like a community of people that are taking the book so that they can talk back and forth to each other and sort of be a support for each other?
You know, I don't have a forum. People have asked me to do that. I don't have that yet. I mean, we've got folks from all over that are getting the book, even out of country. But I don't have like a forum to where they come and discuss the issues. But that might be a good thing to put on. We have the separate site. The other site is theblackawakening.com. Maybe I could put a kind of discussion board up there on the book or something.
Well, I think I just know how it is when you're studying anything. If you have somebody else that you can study with and ask questions and pray with, especially pray with, because it's going to be really important to know how to pray in these last days. I mean, those of us that have been through a lot of things that we wish we really hadn't have been through, but you know what? God has taught us, and He's the one that's overcome. And, you know, just letting people have hope, because there's a lot of information, and I certainly don't want to give any glory to the devil at all. We want to give all glory to Jesus. So as we just, I believe maybe as a community of believers, just make a commitment to ourselves that somehow or another that we'll get in touch with each other so that we can, you know, just help support each other and pray.
Sure. We have a pastor's wife out of the West. She took one of our courses. She made CD discs out of them. And so she took a group of, you know, a dozen people, and they've gone through one or two times now, and she just wrote me that they are actually taking people that pay the money to take a, I think it's a, like a college course that teaches on the paranormal. Well, their goal isn't to learn. They already know about that stuff. Their goal, they paid to go in there, and they're going there to do evangelism, to do prayer, to be right in the class, and to engage people. So I think that, you know, when we do it, we've done numerous over the years, you know, three or four dozen courses, small groups, obviously, as we can discuss material, pray about it, and even have engagement with people who have need.
That's,
you know,
the major thing right there.
Exactly.
People
to see
have
it.
Need. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And conferences can help out and give you – I like conferences because they have condensed, you know, a lot of material condensed in a short, you know, a two-day period. The book, if they get it, that, like I say, they'll get actually what I taught here locally on this whole issue of SRA and the underground. There's 24 hours of those lectures that they can get to go with the book. And again, we've had folks make CDs out of them and use them, and helps them with the content of the book material, and to really understand, because most people, even Christians, that are meeting somebody that says, "Oh, I got voices in my head, I'm missing time, I have these memories of bloody cat or men in hoods." Well, what happens, 99, you know how it is, 99% of the other Christians will bring that person to you instead of, because they don't know how to even begin to ask, you know, to help them. So our goal is, like yours, the Lord is right there with you, and you can learn, you can grow by getting materials, by doing this, you know, coming to conferences, going to local training, and or getting a few people that'll do it together and learn together. And that'd be a great thing.
Well, Russ, maybe at some point we could plan some kind of training seminar that where we would start at the beginning and just teach people exactly how to minister to people. And I know you've been invited to Las Vegas and to Roswell, New Mexico, and much bigger things, but I think it would be useful. What do you think, to have something where people from all over could come to one central place and learn how to do it?
I do agree. I do agree, and I think that, and that's what we've learned over the years. It's all it takes. Even when I pastored church, you know what I did? I taught everything there. We taught everybody their authority, the armor, how to discern if a demonic presence comes up, what to do, how to command it out, how to make sure it's all gone, how to get discernment on generational stuff, familiar spirits. We taught everybody. Our folks knew to where, you know, they didn't need to bring, you know, 100 people didn't need to bring me the people. They could do things. And so I absolutely with you on that, and it's not as hard as people think. If a person is willing to do, you know, what Jesus said and to minister to people, and if they have a heart to move in that direction, they will grow and learn. I honestly believe this, Carla, when we started back in the 80s and said, okay, well, Lord, we'll take whoever you got out here, we'll take, because nobody will minister to demonized people. this is the truth. I look back now and I think when the Lord sees individuals willing, all of a sudden we were inundated. We finally got these little offices where four or five volunteer staff members were with me. Every room in the place where deliverances were going on with different people at times. We would have it packed out. We would have people waiting in the waiting part. It was just so busy. And again, of course, churches heard about it, so they'd send, you know, the pastors, well, you got, you know, voices in your head, you're hearing growling. We'll send you over to these guys. So even though we, you know, got pastors in our classes and we got to do, you know, teach in some of the local churches in the area and train some, gosh, the training, it should just be done by all, you know, this should, discipleship in the area of authority and deliverance and evangelism, we should all know this if we've been a believer 4 or 5 years.
We should. But if we weren't mentored and discipled ourselves, we've got a whole bunch of new babies everywhere, and it's essentially that are not able to be warriors. But we all have potential, and with Christ in us, he has all the power in heaven and earth. So that's all the power there is. So that means we can succeed if we will learn how to just receive what we've already got and be willing to be mentored by someone. So that's why I keep plugging your website at shatterthedarkness.net and ours at nowfaith.tv, because the training is available to you. And you heard me put Russ up to having a seminar, but maybe we could do it jointly, you know, and train you from scratch how to minister. Because you know what we really need, Russ, is a lot of grassroots ministers. They don't have to know everything you know. They don't have to have the experience that I've had. They don't have to have gone through what Teresa has. But we need people that are willing to love people. Because Jesus does all the supernatural stuff. I mean, all we say is come out in the name of Jesus, or we point to them where they have unconfessed sin, you know, that's enabling the demon to stay. But really, Jesus does all the hard part. And so if we can just train people, I think that we can get a lot of response to that, that people will come from all over.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the cutting edge issue. And, you know, 10 people get trained in the base. Even when Jesus did this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, he had 72, told him what he wanted done as far as unleashing the kingdom, the gospel, and so forth, healing people, and commanding demons to leave. And he sends them out, and they come back from their adventure, and they're all blown away. It all occurred. The biggest thing they were surprised of was that demons submitted to them in Jesus' name, which had never been heard of before. But that's why he says, I have given you authority to trample on this. So that chapter is foundational for us. It just tells me, as a pastor, every Christian can be taught that. Right there what those people did, those disciples did, in the area of unleashing the gospel. Everybody out there needs to get saved, so we need to be out there. You know, that's the cutting edge. Then there's people along the way that need healing, which includes on a physical level or healing level. There's others that need deliverance, but on different levels. For example, in the deliverance thing that we would teach, we'd say, okay, the primary four things that we deal with is oppression that comes over a believer's life, or how about spiritual attack, like Ephesians 6, the day of evil, like Job. Then three, what about attachments, where, you know, we have literally given the devil a foothold. How do you break that? And then the fourth thing would be diamonozoid, or the Greek word meaning the idea of possession. So we even just the simple four areas like that, and taking people on how to recognize the difference between demonic outside oppression or demonic attack over events in your life, or where anybody who's opened a door to the enemy on their own, they've given the devil a legal right to grab an area that they've given over to or opened up to, how to shut that door through repentance and keep that door closed.
That's big.
And get rid of the dark side. Because we've done this where we've had someone come in that had oppression and attachment to an area. Okay, by the authority that we have, we were able to command this off of them, and they did. They felt like a black cloud left them, that they felt free. That night they went out and did the same sin area thing that opened the door, and they called back the next day and they said, this presence is back. Well, the issue was, you know, did you open? I mean, matter of fact, the room I'm sitting in, there's a door. You know, we've had coyotes in this area, and so we're making sure this door is always shut now. If I open this door knowing that coyotes could be out there, and especially if I just set a plate of food in here, those coyotes are going to come up here. They're going to come right in here. That's what they're drawn to. So the demonic, they're drawn to the doorways that get open, whether it's unrepentant anger, whether it's, you know, we went out and played around with a Ouija board, or we went to a psychic reader, or it could be something that we don't know. We just know that our grandmother was a witch or was an astrologer, and something keeps bugging you to draw into that same thing, and here it is, a familiar spirit. You're not possessed, but you do have the influence coming down on you. To recognize that and say, you know what, I'm going to clear the air here. You know, I renounce anything my grandmother or my family line has gone into, and I renounce this in Jesus' name. I cut off anything and give them no rights. And literally, like Jesus taught, order them, command them, you know, to get out and get away, be gone, asking the Lord to destroy their work. So many believers, Carla, and you know this too, as a pastor over the years, thousands of people, so many go through spiritual warfare like Peter did. Peter didn't, in the beginning, he didn't know what hit him. He's out there cussing, denying he even knows the Lord, and he didn't even know that it was Satan that came to sift them as wheat. Satan came to just beat them and eat their lunch and spiritually bring them down. Jesus gave them the warning, you know, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your faith wouldn't fail. When that battle was over, Peter had a hard time recommitting. But once Pentecost come, once he grew, later on when he writes the book of First Peter, what does he write? You know, be alert, self-controlled. Your enemy, the devil's prowling around, you know, like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You know, so there's a clarity there. Look at Acts 5 when he's able to stand there with the Holy Spirit, either word of knowledge or just discernment, knowing that Satan entered into, you know, Sapphira and Ananias, trying to infiltrate the church. And he stopped it at the door. It cost two conspirators their lives, but it stopped. And Satan was stopped from using them as vessels. So that's the kind of thing that, you know, like when I'm at church on Sunday, you know what I'm doing? Because this church doesn't do this. I'm used to, 20 minutes of sustained intercessory prayer going on. In most churches on a Sunday morning, you get 58 seconds of prayer time within the whole service, usually. I'm used to praying, you know, in that intercession, along with praying for the city and praying for each other, I'm used to also having the church pray against the demonic in the city, against what the enemy's doing, anything in the congregation, and use spiritual warfare prayer. So I just unleash that while I'm there. You know, I'm there worshiping and praising God and enjoying and just really embracing the Lord. But during the service, as we're doing a little bit of prayer time, whatever, I will be praying for the pastor and the people. I will be praying for the God to come with power, like in revival power. I will then also, Lord, is there anything demonic is doing? Is there anything devil's doing? You know, Jesus had the heads up. None of those guys in the room knew that Satan came into the room. None of them knew that Satan asked to sift them. But Jesus gave them the heads up. And that's why even on a daily basis when I go through my prayer times, like when I enter into that warfare time, it's just, Lord, what's the enemy doing? You know? And we've learned how to get a sense of, is there been ritual demonic powers raised, sent against us? There's even a sense now of, is a remote viewer or somebody doing astral projection? Is it just something else? You know, just simply taking 5 minutes and say, Lord Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, what's the enemy doing over my life? Is there any assignment, any plot, any way he's working, any lie he's sending into me? I just want to know, and I want to make sure that I'm clear, and I want you to deliver me, and I want to know how to stand. And just 5 minutes alone would bring a big change and have the Lord lead us in what we need to do.
Russ, we've got about 2 minutes before we begin our closure here. Would you like to pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. We'd love to do that. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge again just your love for us and your passion for our lives, and Jesus, your death on that cross for the world, for everyone listening right now. I believe you'd be here by the providence of God, even if you're listening to archives later on. We know that even then, a month later, that the Lord Jesus is right there. We're asking him to minister to you. We pray for your salvation. If you're lost, you don't know the Lord, to come to Jesus Christ. I was by myself in a home by myself one night. That's all you need to do. Call in the name of the living Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life and be Savior and Lord. If you're a believer struggling, you know, surrender everything to Jesus. Father, we pray right now, stretch out your hands to deliver people. We command in the name of Jesus Christ any demonic presence that is oppressing or working against individuals listening. Lord Jesus, break that. Lead them, God, in standing up to also renounce things, claiming the name of Jesus Christ, and stretch out your hands, Lord, to heal individuals, minister to individuals. Lord, we ask you to bless them tonight. And again, even a month later, listening to an archive, supernaturally, Lord, you can minister to them, you know, much later. And Lord, anybody listening in just because they're part of the dark side, thank you for them being here. We pray the power of Jesus and just visit them like you did Saul of Tarsus to bring them to salvation. Bless Carlotta. Bless Cross Walk Talk, the ministry, Lord. Bless Teresa and just give them tremendous abilities, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. We pray a special blessing on Russ and protection as well as he goes, and for more enlightenment, more revelation, more knowing of your perfect love. Just, God, we know there's no end to knowing you. You're just inexhaustible. And I just bless him with a prophet's reward. We bless him for the seeds that he's sown. We call in the harvest. We just call in the harvest for the seeds that all of our listeners have sown, that this is the time. It is white. We call in the laborers. We call in those that are willing to receive. That's it right there. Willing to receive a heart of compassion to compel the lost to come in, that cares more about people than they do about just getting raptured out to a forever vacation, and is what they picture, I think. But we receive your love, God, for people, and we receive your strategy for the right time to have training seminars, the right places, the right people to include. We receive your plans and purposes, because we know that you have a plan and purpose for each and every person. God so loved the whole world that you sent your son, and that you have sent your son to live through us and to do what he's always done, and that is to reach out to the people that need him and have open hearts. And I just pray healing, healing, healing for every person that's listening tonight. And I pray that you won't just sit back with your questions, or if you went into fear tonight, you won't just let it stay there, that you'll go to Crosswalk Life and read over 300 free healing articles that we've got. Go to nowfaith.tv and start, sign up. I mean, it can be free if it has to be. We welcome donations. We try to do it on a donation basis. But like Russ said, we're just giving the farm away. And we want you to have this 4 years of teaching and training that we've got there, and to be equipped. I mean, we're long-term investors, and we want to see you taught and trained and consider you to be good ground. So I just want to encourage you,
generation,
to subscribe, to share this, to download it. I mean, you may not know how to teach this yourself, but you can click a button and share it with someone else and give them hope. Thank you, Lord. And Teresa, do you want to add anything?
Oh, gosh, you just covered so much, Carlotta. There are so many ways they can share this program.
Well,
and for those people that don't have iTunes yet, please get that. It's free. All these podcasts are free. So just share them with those that need them and listen and learn. And God just bless you all.
And we're going to divide this program in half so it's a little bit easier to listen to. We'll be putting the links on nowfaith.tv. Russ will probably post something on his websites. It'll be on Facebook. And so you're going to be able to access this indefinitely so that you can share it with other people and begin to wake the church up. And I hope you'll just join us for next week for more Crosswalk Talk. We're going to have Randy Demain talking about angels, and I'm sure that we'll get into a little bit of what we covered tonight, too, because he's wrote a whole book on the Nephilim. But Russ, thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks and hope to work together in the future.
Sounds great. Blessings to you, Carlotta, and also to you, Teresa.
Thank you, Russ, very, very much. God bless you.
God bless.
We
good night.
We bless all of you. We bless all of you that listen tonight. Do not go into a fear of evil or a fear of the devil, because one thing he knows for sure is that he can't even abduct anybody that calls out in the name of Jesus. We've got case after case, thousands of cases reported where they called out in the name of Jesus, and even an alien abduction stopped at that point. So no, greater is he that's in you, and he has a wonderful, wonderful plan for your life. So just tap into it, get the healing and the training and the equipping you need. That's what Teresa did. I met her a couple years ago when she joined Now Faith TV. And it's been wonderful. We really do want to mentor you. Blessings, blessings, blessings as you seek that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that will enable you to fulfill your destiny. Hallelujah.
I could have fortune and fame, go anywhere, do anything, but oh God, I just want you. I could search for earthly things to satisfy my every need, oh God, I just want you. I just wanna every day, I just want.